I just want to encourage us to develop and build a habit of praising God. To build a habit of thanksgiving. The thing about thanksgiving, giving thanks, saying thank you, we can always correlate it as a response to something wonderful that has happened to us. It is easy to say thank you when somebody has been nice to you, when somebody's been courteous to you. It's naturally easy to say thank you when we've been given something or we've experienced something wonderful. So usually our praise and thanksgiving is almost or as a response to something wonderful. All right? So because we've conditioned our praise, we've conditioned our thanksgiving as a response or reaction to something wonderful, hence it becomes impossible or difficult for most of us to thank God when we're going through adversity. It becomes impossible or near difficult to have a heart full of gratitude when everything is falling apart. We kind of almost take license not to be grateful. We take license not to worship or praise when we're going through a dry patch because everything within us excuses us not to be grateful. So I just want to share a little bit with you that gratitude and praise has got nothing to do with what's happening to you, through you, or with you. Are you understanding? Gratitude, praise has got nothing to do with what has happened to you. Gratitude and praise has got everything to do with who God is. Because God is who He is in despite of what you're experiencing. God will still be who He is in despite of what we are going through. It is easy to see me most of the time. I seem like I never have bad days. The truth is I don't have bad days. I do not have bad days. I only have God-ordained days. And in a day that God has ordained, like David said, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad in a day, and it's a good day in spite of what's happened, because what's happened does not change who God is. It is a good day because it's a day that God has made. Because it's a day that God has made, it only mandates one thing, my praise. It only mandates one thing, my gratitude. So there is a place where we know to praise God because everything is all right. But what I want to talk to us is praising when praise becomes a sacrifice. What are we talking about? When praise becomes a sacrifice. We are praising not because everything is all right or hunky-dory. We are praising because it is our heart's response to the nature, the character, and the faithfulness of God. You see, I do not have bad days because the baseline of my day is my worship to God. If the baseline of your day is what God did for you, then you'll never worship God continually. Your worship will be broken up in sections and segments where things are going good. It is easy to worship and praise God continually because your praise is not dependent on circumstances. Your praise is dependent on the goodness of God. Your praise is based on the faithfulness of God. Your praise is based on the nature of God. We praise God. We worship God for who He is, not what He has done. What am I trying to say? You got a line to separate what God did with who He is. And that becomes a distincting factor between Israel and Moses. Because He revealed His hand to the Israelites, but His ways to Moses. When we know His ways, His hand doesn't matter what He did or didn't do. Are you understanding? It is His ways we are after. It is His heart we are after. See, David says, from the rising of the sun to the setting down of the same, may His name be praised. Okay, at the rising of the sun, it might have been very cold, but His name was to be praised. At the midday of the sun, it might have been very hot, but His name would be praised. At the setting down of the sun, the business deals would have gone very wrong, but He's still praising His name. Are you following? So let's learn to praise God in spite of what we are feeling. My heart to worship God is for who He is. When things are not going according to the way I would like to see them go, that's when I begin to dance. I dance not because I'm having a good day. I dance because I have to remind myself of who God is. Do you understand? Yeah. We don't dance because we are winning. We dance because we are losing. Because it is the crushing in our brokenness. It is the crushing in our defeat. It is the crushing in our disappointment that brings the extra virgin oil out of our olives. It is crushed people that ooze oil. You hear that? What kind of people ooze oil? It is the crushed olives that bring out the oil. If you can find a voice of praise in challenges, you found an avenue to releasing grace. So hear me right. It's not that I don't have challenges, but I choose not to make them my focus. It's not that I don't have problems, but I choose to make them my focus. It's not that I don't have bills, very overdue and way overdue, but I choose to let them rule my day. Because my day has to be ruled by the faithfulness of God. My day has to be ruled by the nature and the character and the love and the ways of God. Are you understanding? Yes. So I just quickly want to read to you Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 from the New Living Translation, it says, Therefore, so that means whatever's happened, whatever it's been, wherever you've been, whatever is going or not going, therefore, in spite of it all, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise. How often are we going to offer this sacrifice of praise? continually, which means every day we offer the sacrifice of praise. Whatever happens, we offer the sacrifice of praise. When we have a big win, we offer the sacrifice of praise. When we have a big loss, we still offer the sacrifice of praise. So therefore, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to His name. Hey, I don't know. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus continually a sacrifice of praise. But not only are you offering a sacrifice of praise, is that continually you're offering your allegiance to the name of Jesus in spite, whether He does it or not, your allegiance is with Him. In spite whether He comes through or not, your allegiance is to His name. That is the part where Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego says, whether He delivers us or not, we'll still praise His name. Like, in spite, regardless of what happens or what doesn't happen, our undying devotion is still to God. That is a praise. That is a sacrifice. That is a worship that worships God for who He is, not for what He's done. That is when we come to a place where we are following God for who He is and not for what we get from Him. It is a kind of that vow you made between you and your wife, that for better or for worse, it's not that for good times and best time only. You take this woman, yeah, for good and great. No, you commit, you lay down, you give yourself to each other in both the good and both the bad. You got to remember that the relationship that you have with Jesus is based on the same premises. You are the bride, He's the groom. That means He's also pledging His allegiance to you, both for better and for worse. And that should give you an incredible sense of confidence that in spite of where you've been, what you've been, He's never going to let you down just because you've made mistakes, because His allegiance to you is both for better and for worse. And likewise, it comes for you as well, that you choose to follow Him whether you have a breakthrough or not. You choose to follow Him whether you had a miracle or not. You choose to follow Him whether things are going as the way you'd like to do or not, because it is the marriage covenant we have between the bride and the groom. It is the marriage covenant that we have between the Rose of Sharon and the King of Jerusalem. It is a marriage covenant. There is that exists between the beloved and the Shunammite. And that is what is we're talking about. We love each other, not because things are great. If anything, when things are going pear-shaped, that becomes an incentive to even draw a little bit yet closer. That our allegiance to His name is based on His character, His faithfulness. You see, all creation worships God, not because He gave it financial breakthrough. All creation worships God because the basis of worship is that He's the creator and we are the created. Period. Why we worship God? And we are the creator. What He gives us is just an expression of His grace and favor to us. So if God never gave us anything, we are still expected to worship Him. His love for you and I is unconditional. Why do we base our loving back conditional? The Passion Translation says, so we no longer offer up a steady stream of blood sacrifice. But through Jesus, we offer up to God a steady stream of praise sacrifices. These are the lambs we offer from the lips that celebrate His name. All right, this is why I dance all day, every day. Because all day, every day, it's a celebration, celebrating His name. We are not celebrating the victories, we are celebrating His name. We are not celebrating the healings, the miracles, we are celebrating His name. So whether there is miracle, we still dance or not. Whether there is breakthrough or not, we still dance. Whether there is money, we still dance. And when there is no food, we even dance harder. When you understand that, then you understand what it means to dance over your injustice. To dance over your sorrows. And exactly that's what it is. When praise becomes a sacrifice, it means everything within us is resisting. Everything within us is broken, is despondent. Everything within us cannot find a reason to sing up and give thanks. And this is in that place where David would speak to himself and say, why art thou downcast, O my soul? There is no praise to worship because everything is just so wrong. As a suggestion by itself, a sacrifice, it means it's been killed, it's been beaten. It is in a place where we stand in a place of victimization. We feel helpless and hopeless with nothing and nobody to tend to. We feel helpless with nobody to run to. It is in that place where we're feeling like the complete victim, like there is nowhere where salvation and deliverance is going to come from, that we choose to stand and give God praise. Praise that we give out of what has happened, that's not sacrifice. Sacrifice is a praise that you give when everything within you is just feeling like keep quiet, go home, quit on God. It is a praise we give when all your friends are like Job's friends who are telling him to curse God. When all your friends are telling you that this is a lost battle. When all your friends are sending you text messages telling you to give up and move on. It is the praise you choose to give when all your friends are telling you the most imaginable report. It is the praise you give when your bank manager says we can't give you an extension no more. It is the praise you give when the doctor says there is nothing we can do. This is the most severe of the cases we've ever seen. It is the praise that you give in the face of adversity, in the face of difficulty, when everybody is saying, now he is done, she is done, there is no recovery from this one, there is no coming back from this one, and you said what? Then you just say, this is really bad, and you say, okay, give me a moment, doctor, I'm just going to stand on that corner, and what you said, I hear. But what the Lord has done for me, hey, I cannot tell it all. And then you say, what did you say, doctor? This is really bad. One more moment. Because your praise to God is dependent on who God is. That the circumstances, the situation will never shut you up, will never keep you down, because what keeps you going? It is who He is. This is when praise becomes a sacrifice. You see, the place of praising in our difficulties, it is when we choose to be yielded and let our hearts be an altar where the grace of God can operate. It is when we allow our hearts to be an altar where the bad news can be laid before His grace. It is a place of yieldedness. It is a place of surrender. It is a sacrifice of praise, because it looks at the situation, it looks at the circumstances, and then it turns and looks at God. It does sickness, disease, challenges, God. And it chooses, I'm going to keep my gaze on there. Now, here's something that you got to quickly understand. When your praise becomes a sacrifice, that means it is really costly. It is really costly. If you've never felt the pinch, then your praise is not a sacrifice yet. If you've never felt the tugging yet, if it's still in the comfort zone, then your praise is not a sacrifice yet. Because David said to Arona, 2 Samuel 24:24, that I will not offer a sacrifice to my God that cost me nothing. So there was an understanding in David's heart that if I'm going to offer a sacrifice to God, it's got to cost me something. I got to feel something. It costs so much to sing hallelujah when everything within you is saying, you see, you gotta push past that place. Well, this is Sunday, I feel very, whatever you feel, I'm not going to church today. That's not the praise we're talking about. Well, you come to church because you feel good. We're talking about coming to church because you feel horrible. That's the praise we're looking for. We're turning up. Not because we are on our best, we are turning up because we are on our most vulnerable. And we can trust Him in our low places. You see, here's the bottom line. If God can never trust you in your low places, He will never trust you in the high places. We do not qualify for ministry on the mountaintops. We qualify for ministry in the valleys. So He says, I will not offer a sacrifice to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. And He made the most incredible offer, and He bought that threshing floor and set up an altar for His God. And you know that threshing floor he bought became the site where the temple was built. The temple of Solomon, where the mount still is today, that was his sacrifice of praise. The sacrifices of praise, the victories people will remember for thousands of years to come, are not the ones that you won at your very best. They are the ones that you won at your very lowest. We are all inspired by Mr. Edison, not because he invented the light bulb, but because he failed more than 1,000 times. And some of you have only failed 200 times and you're giving up. Seriously? You only 200 times? You mean you've just failed 200 times? 8 more 100 chances to get it right eventually. When it really hurts, when it really feels hopeless and seems so bleak, it is the most incredible setting for God to make a grand entrance. Ba-da-ba-dum! When things get so hard and so difficult, I begin listening for the drum roll. That's why I dance, because I'm hearing the drum roll is coming in. Hearing the drum roll of him coming and make a grander entrance. So what am I trying to say to you? This is easy when we live our lives not according to what we feel, but according to what he says. What he says is a solid anchor. What he says is constant. What he says never changes. What I feel changes between breakfast, lunch, snacks, and whatever else. So if I'm going to live my life based on what I feel, this is why our plan is like this. In the morning you wake up, you feel like, yeah, I'm believing God for those millions. You bend your toast, man. If only I can have 10 bucks. Like you move from a million to 10 bucks. Am I making sense to anybody? Yeah. Yeah. That's good. When praise becomes a sacrifice, we live a life of gratitude. No matter what we feel, no matter what things seem like. Because our confidence is not on what happened. Our confidence is on God's track record. Our confidence is on God's track record. I may not have seen it yet. It doesn't mean I'm not going to see it. Wow, you're laughing at that one, out-cuting me. I'm out-cuted. You see, when something bad happens, the devil is looking for a particular response and reaction from you. So when you go, this one, he's like, we didn't see that one coming. He's only confused if you show him a move he didn't see coming. He's like, man, this is really bad. It calls for a new dance move. You see, when your praise becomes a sacrifice, then your God becomes the God of the valleys, the God of the hills, the God of the mountains, and the God of the seas. Because in whichever arena the enemy calls for battle, you're still on your steady feet. If you worship and praise in every circumstance, your enemy is not going to know which way to attack you because it is pointless. Does that make sense to anybody? Remember your siblings in your family? When you push certain buttons, they react a certain way. And that's what encourages you to push those buttons. You're like, when I push like that, you go, ah! So every time you pull that one, you're going to... When living on a Wawen base in Africa, you get these Australians come. And these Australians that come, their favorite prank on any non-Australian is feed them Vegemite. Now, they are not doing it for health reasons. They are doing it for a reaction. Because every non-Australian that has never had Vegemite before, when they see the black, dark, greasy stuff, they have chocolate paste in mind. So when they say, here, have some, they are getting a big scoop with the chocolate scoop in mind. Yes. And they would lather it there. And then when they're eating, and all these Australians are like, and when somebody bites in it, and they go, oh! And they laugh, they get a kick out of it. On every Australian visitors that they did, that's their favorite trick. So I specialized in an Australian trick. So when they're doing the trick, I'll say, oh, okay. And I'll get the thickest Vegemite you can imaginably have on there. And then I'll bite it in and go, can I have more? And then you see, because they didn't get the reaction they're looking for, like, now it becomes like, I'm the one laughing. Now, the funny thing is, out of the prank I did, even up to now, if I eat Vegemite, I eat it thick, because I'm used to eating it thick. And that's the point. Your reaction and your response in adversity becomes your normal way of response. So it's funny that even now, if I'm having Vegemite, I will have it like it's Nutella. If. Or when. But you understand the point. So where they would get the reaction of what they're looking for, they laugh and laugh raw on the floor because the American thought it was chocolate or it was sweet. So if you respond in a way of gratitude and in embracing the situation, your enemy will be the one looking silly and you'll be the one laughing. My other one is, how many of you have got ticklish feet? How many of you don't know because you've never been tickled before? So being tickled and being poked in there is also something I used to react to. But just to get a last laugh, I had to train myself not to respond or react to. So naturally, it's not that I'm not ticklish. It's just that I have to... You gotta learn how to get the last laugh mechanisms. So they poke there, and just pretend like you didn't even feel a thing. I remember do that. And before long, they won't even bother. They are planning on it. Let me have a little conference. Angel of the Lord, slap whoever pokes me. Okay, let's get back. What am I saying to her? When it costs so much, when it hurts so much, when just everything within you feels like, I can't do this, I can't keep going, how long, Lord? Learn some new language. It's not how long, Lord. Which music, Lord? You gotta understand. The psalmist says, you prepare a table before me. Where? In the presence of my enemies. But before you rush to, my cup runs over, there is something that comes before your cup running over. He anoints your head with oil. When is the oil coming? After the crushing and the pressing. You understand that? And if you're feeling the pressing is so severe, when you're feeling the crushing is so severe, go get the biggest oil vat because there's a lot of oil fixing to come out. Just a little squeeze. From a little squeeze, you're just going to get a little drop. Huh? Who's for a little squeeze of oil? Nah. All right. Lovely. Oil. The one that he says, down the beard. This is why I keep my beard, is to catch the oil. Wow. That means you are partying all day, eh? Let's stand. So can I encourage you? For some of us, live life like we've got a monopoly on problems. We say it's a
proof that women cannot do two things at once. You can pray for our marriage later.
I was saying some of us live our lives like we've got a monopoly on problems. And when we are going through difficulties and we feel we've got a monopoly on challenges, we want everybody we come across to feel the sympathy, cuddle us, fluff us, and pat us. And we need people to come around us and have a pity party with us. Look for people when you have problems who are going to have a dance party with you. Yeah. When you are having problems, look for people that will have a dance fest with you. When certain people in my house are looking grumpy and they come to me, I say, sweetie, this is a grump-free zone, leave. I don't want your grumpiness to cramp my atmosphere. Come back when you are looking like... So even when it still hurts, they come to me. Yes, unless you can pretend to be. Until the joy catches up. Visit your friends. You find them, they are looking miserable. And say, hello, would you like to dance? Well, they are looking so depressing, says, oh, wait a minute, I went to church today. We learned this move. Tell the boss, there's something ailing. It sounds like this. We go bad right, we go bad left, we go bad. You want to do it with me, boss? What? You're imagining your boss will go by. All right. I guess in all the talking, what I'm trying to say is, oh, that water goes. Let what you are going through be a reason to worship. Let it be a reason for gratitude. Let it be a reason for praise. The more terrible things become, the more I bring my greatest repertoires out of the depth of my dance machine. So Such that some people, when I'm having a really dance for it, they mistake my dance for it. Hey, did he win $1 million? No, I just lost $1 million. I didn't win, I just lost. What is it that has been stealing your peace? What is it that the enemy has been using to take away your joy? What is it that the enemy has been using to take away your joy? Because there is a spiritual law. Now, whatever the thief has been caught stealing, he has to return it double. I expect double increase in every area of my life that the enemy has been attacking. This is why I dance, because I know I just made 50, I just made double. Why do I dance? Because I know whatever the enemy has been taking from me, I just made double. So if anything, I'm not saying, Lord, take it away. I'm saying, Lord, make him do it again. I want to double my investments. Make him do it again. Because we know there's going to be a double when there's a restoration.
Huh?
When it comes to wives, well, I can explain that, man. She's a smart one. You see, the Bible says God restored double everything Job had lost, and the daughters of Job. He didn't give him twice as many daughters. He just gave him incomparable beauty in the whole earth. So if he's talking to your wife, man, you're just going to get a hottie on your hands. I leave those. I'll talk to these ones here.